I've always felt like I didn't fit in. Back when I had hair, it was red. And I was covered with freckles, and kids in elementary school would make fun of me. I'm the second of seven kids, and so we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And so there are a lot of things that we learned to live without. One of the worst times for me was after Christmas, when we go back to school, and I remember one class, the teacher went around and had us share the presents that we got. And I had plenty of time to take what I got and make it sound amazing. I always felt like I didn't fit in. And then I went to college, and because it was 6 years after high school, they gave me the title non-traditional. And I kind of felt like that was an insult then. Now, yeah, I'm proud of that. But that was how I felt growing up. Maybe you felt like you don't fit in. Maybe you felt like, well, God can't really use me because of my past. I'm from the wrong family. God can't use me because, you know, I've done some things in my past, and therefore, God can't really use me. It could be that you are full of fear of what people think about you or what they think of your abilities. Maybe it's because you just spend so much time thinking about yourself first. And you think, obviously, I'm somebody that God can't use. Right? Right? God can't use people like that, right? Or can he? Today, we're looking at someone that must have felt like they couldn't fit in either. They're from the wrong country. They were a traitor. They were immoral. They were full of fear. And they thought only about themselves. This is obviously somebody God can't use, right? So, let me give you some background before we jump in. The children of Israel were in Egypt. They got out of Egypt, plagues, and they spent 40 years going around the desert, wandering in the desert, because of the hardness of their hearts. They're wandering around the desert. Moses dies. Joshua is now in charge. And so he tells these two men, scout out the land, especially around Jericho. So they go to a prostitute's house. Now, that sounds really bad, but what it was the inn. It was the bed and breakfast, although they had additional services available. You know what I mean? And so that's where they went. That was the natural place for visitors to a city to go. That was the hotel in that area. And she agreed to hide them. That's where we jump into this story in Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For you have heard how the Lord has made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt." That was 40 years before that. They still remembered that. "We know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River. Those people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." She had a clear perspective of who God was and God's authority. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. See, what was her decision? Rahab's decision, her decision was switching fears. She switched fears. She was not like everyone else. Next slide. They were all afraid, but the difference was the people of Jericho, their fear kept them stuck. They were afraid, and their fear kept them stuck. They're like, ugh. It said, we are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. They were afraid of what God can do, and they were frozen in fear. But notice what it says about Rahab. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of heavens above and earth beneath. Rahab, her fear set her free because she feared God. You see, they both had fear. Rahab's fear of God, she knew who God was, and she feared him and wanted to ally with them. So she knew who God was, and that knowledge moved her to action. So here's the question. You do one good deed, and then you're in, right? Is that what this is? Is Rahab in now because she did one good deed? So it's all about works. Is that it? James chapter 2, verse 25. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. So that one act, was that enough to get her into heaven? What's the best tool for understanding Scripture? Other Scripture. The best tool for understanding Scripture is other Scripture. You can look at one verse and go, oh, this is what... A thing is established on the testimony or two or three witnesses. Can you find other passages that say the same thing? So how do we understand what James wrote in James 2:25, Hebrews 11:31. It was by what? Faith. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. So Rahab feared God, and that fear gave birth to faith. Rahab had faith in God, and so she hid the spies. Faith is an inner reality. It was her inner reality, but we could see it by what she did. Now, how many of you have seen somebody that has had the flu? You've seen somebody that's had the flu, right? So you actually saw the flu germ? You got out your microscope and you looked at the germ and you said, oh, that's the flu. Is that what you did? What did you do? You said, oh, look, they're vomiting up everything. Isn't that interesting? Well, look, their temperature is 102. They feel terrible. Huh, let's put that together. You're throwing up, you have a high temperature, you feel terrible, you feel achy all over, you have the flu. You take a look by the outward things that are happening, and you know that the inner reality is they have a flu virus. The same thing is true with faith. Somebody has faith. How do you know that they have faith? Can you put their faith under a microscope and see, oh, there's faith? No, you see it by their actions. You see what they do. You go, oh, I saw them this and this and this. It's obvious they have faith. How do you know that Rahab had faith? You see that by what she did. And so she had faith. Now, what impact did she have? She was a prostitute. What kind of impact can she have? Well, back to God's word, Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the genealogy. Salmon was a father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Same Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of King David. Isn't that pretty cool? Here's this lady on the outside. She's from the wrong country. She's not a good person. And she's in the lineage of David. You want to know more than that? You know what else is true? She was the ancestor, humanly speaking, of who? Jesus. Pretty stinking cool, right? God used the faith of this woman to do incredible things. Her example, faith under pressure changes the world. Faith under pressure changes the world. Rahab won her battle of Jericho without fighting the physical battle. Her battle was to hide the spies. And so, I think when we look at Scripture, we ought to apply it to our own lives. We don't live in Jericho. What's our battles? We have battles that we need to fight. Battles we need to win. We're going to take a look at some of them. I'm sure there are probably more. Luke 12:15. Then he, Jesus, said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Matthew 10:8. "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received." What's the battle? Get versus give. We live in a country that is all about the get. Get. How much can you get? Get all you can and stuff it in a can and then sit on the can. That's our culture. And so, are you saying the get is bad? No. It's kind of like breathing. You get and you give, and you get and you give. What if all you did is say, "Today, I'm going to only inhale"? Would that work? It's not all, it's also not possible to say, "Today, all I'm going to do is exhale." No, neither one of them. It's breathing. We receive and we give. Receive and give. And we make a difference because of that. That's health. We've got to win that battle. Matthew 20, verse 25. "But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know how the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be..." Is that right? That doesn't make sense, does it? For whoever wants to be a leader among you must be, is that right? Must be your servant? And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's not a typo. The battle is rule versus serve. Rule versus serve. Good leaders lead. Great leaders serve. And there's a huge difference. And that's what Jesus was talking about. The leaders at that time, it was all about, you know, you do what I say in front of me, and they ruled with a heavy hand. And Jesus gave us the example. Jesus led. He went first. But Jesus also served. He gave his life so that we could have salvation. That's leadership. He served. And so we need to serve the way Jesus did. Did Jesus impact the world at all? Yeah. If you want to study that some more, if this is a battle you're dealing with, go to Philippians chapter 2. It talks about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. As Jesus humbled himself and humbled himself and humbled himself, and God raised him up. And as a result, he's impacted the whole world. When we do that, when we humble ourselves and serve, God uses us, he exalts us, and he allows us to have an impact. It's a, you know, there are big leaders that come and go, right? And it's kind of like flash in the pan. Ooh, look at him. And then 6 months later, nobody remembers him anymore. Is that what you want? You want a flash in the pan? Or do you want to have a long-lasting impact that never stops? More about that later. James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Talk versus listen. Talk versus listen. I cannot mention this point without confessing to you that this is a battle that I deal with. I am by nature a talkative person. A couple of you may have picked up on that. My mother thought, what the problem with Kenny is that nobody sits and listens to him. So I'm going to sit and listen to him. And so he'll talk himself out, and then he won't be talking as much. And so my mom, with 7 children, sat down and marked out about an hour for just me, thinking that after talking for an hour, I would slow down and stop talking. Her experiment was unsuccessful. That's my struggle. And so one thing I've done, I'm also a very curious person, and so I've learned I have to teach myself to ask good questions, and I love stories. And so I try to ask good questions so people can tell stories, and I love hearing stories. In fact, I heard a great story earlier this week. And you learn to listen. Because you know what I've learned? I'm not going to learn anything by talking all the time. The only way I'm going to learn something is by and listening. And that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. And so, especially today, just ask good questions and listen. And you want a trick? Would you like it to know a trick? I've heard this trick, and you can do this when you ask somebody, well, so what do you do for a living? And then you say something outrageous about that career, and somebody says, well, I'm a plumber. Oh, I heard somewhere that being a plumber is one of the easiest jobs. And what they'll do is they'll automatically say, oh, no. And they'll just start telling you story after story how difficult their job is. And if you want to hear somebody talk, ask them those kinds of questions. Make those kinds of statements. And just hear the stories that they tell. I was talking to somebody yesterday or earlier this week, a server in a restaurant, and they were talking about people. And I was like, I bet you could write a book. Oh, my word. And they just started telling some stories about what people have done that come in to get food. And it's like, wow. People are willing to talk if we allow them an opportunity to listen. And that's a battle I need to fight. And there may be others of you that need to fight that same battle as well. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Hebrews 10:25. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We need the battle of put down versus lift up. Put down versus lift up. We live in a culture that thinks that if I insult everybody in this room, I become more important. And the more people I can insult, the better I make myself. And so we need to fight that battle by lifting others up, by encouraging other people, by saying, wow, that was amazing the way you did that. You see, there are two kinds of people in the world today, just two kinds of people, no more, I say, not the good and the bad, for it is well understood that the good are half bad and the bad are half good. No, the two kinds of people in the world I mean are the ones that lift and the ones that lean. And so we need to look for opportunities to lift others up and encourage. We looked at Barnabas several months ago, how Barnabas had a huge impact on the early church by simply being an encourager. He lifted others up. So, those four battles, which one is yours? Which one do you need to do victory on, have victory this week? Get versus give, rule versus serve. Talk versus listen, put down versus lift up. Which one do you need to focus on? You pick the one that you need to work on. How do we do that? We do that the same way. Let's go back to Rahab. What did she do? She feared God. She saw God for who he was. She saw God in all his majesty and power. She knew that God could change things. And she feared God. That's where she started. See, the bottom line, when I fear God, I win my battles and I change the world. When I fear God, I win my battles and I change the world. Amazing story I heard this week. Can I tell you? There's a man named Jack French. And we had general conference. A denomination got together in Fort Wayne this week. And I saw Jack and was in talking to Jack. He told me this story of Mary Mail. Mary Mail was a junior high Sunday school teacher. Some of you are aware of junior hires. And they have a lot of energy. And a lot of people don't like working with junior hires, but Mary Mail did. Now, Mary Mail wasn't a real stable person. She didn't have her faith really nailed down very well. But she was willing to teach them God's word. And Jack said he found a photograph. Somebody gave him a photograph, an old black and white photograph of that class, and he realized all the people that were in that class. He said two of them were his cousins, Dave and Don Peterson, leading laymen in churches in Wichita, Kansas, and Muskegon, Michigan. Himself, Jack French. Jack was an evangelist that traveled the world preaching the good news. And he was a missionary to Brazil. Dr. Norman Bridges, who was the president of Bethel College for a number of years, that school turned around under his leadership. And then Dr. Bill Carruthers, president of Roberts Wesleyan College. This young lady who was working her faith out, but was willing to teach junior high kids, had those people in her class. She made a difference. Let's keep making a difference and keep making a difference today. But let's not stop there. Jack French was speaking at a church in northern Michigan. And the pastor of that church contacted the choir director, I think it was at Northern Michigan University, and said, "We're having special services. Could you have your choir come and sing at the beginning of the service? But here's the deal, they have to stay for the rest of the service." And so they stayed for the entire service. And there was a guy in that choir who heard the good news for the very first time. And so on his own, he came back on Monday night. And he heard the good news again. And he gave his heart, his life to Jesus, and Jesus transformed his life. And he went on to serve at several colleges as a choir director. And he had a son. You know what his son's name is? Norris Ham, who stood here last Sunday and preached the word. Norris Ham, who was a missionary to the Muslim world. And Mary Mail's impact on this world grows day by day by day, even though she's long gone. You want to have an impact like that? I do. How do you do that? You do that by using the gifts you have. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Using the gifts you have to connect and talk to other people about Jesus. Stand with me. As we wrap up the service, I want you, or wrap up the message, I want you to just close your eyes and just push out any distractions and focus your heart and soul on adoring God. Fearing God, as Rahab did. See God in brilliant light. in all his majesty and power and glory. And then surrender to him. And just say, God, I'm yours. And then say, God, here's my battle. I need your power for this battle in my life. Father, we need you. We need you. Work through us. Work through our simple acts of obedience. Help us to not be afraid to do the simple little things of caring and loving other people, because it's those things you have shown us that changed the world. Use us, Father. Use our faith to change this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.